Now let's turn to Romans 1:29. All right, the first chapter of Romans is all about the gospel, what it is, and who it's for. And the gospel is for everyone who believes. It's for everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. If you're a believer, then you're on this side of the line up there, which is number three. You're not a two, and you're not a Roman numeral one. Roman numeral one, that's unbelievers. And the hypocrites are the same thing as unbelievers because they're actors. The hypocrite's an actor. He's a dissimulator, someone who pretends something. So a hypocrite is someone who says, I'm not a one. And that's why he's a hypocrite, because he is a one. So the hypocrite is got he's looking like a two, but he's actually a one. So a hypocrite is never a good category. It's always evil, iniquitous, rotten to the hilt. So you don't want to be in category one. Category two would be a God-fearer. That would be a legalistic person who is not openly wicked. But a hypocrite is a pretender who, though he's not openly wicked, is secretly wicked. But a God-fearer is not openly wicked, but is wicked. So one and two are actually one. They just don't look like they are. But there's a difference between one and two, because two is certainly not openly wicked. And they don't look like hypocrites either. So a God-fearing person is someone who's always praying, being nice to the neighbor, being just to his society, fears God, fears man, but it's natural justice. It's natural morality. It's natural. It's as high as man can go. He goes from one to two and skips over one and a half. He's not a hypocrite. Yet he still goes to hell with the hypocrites. That is amazing. Imagine a man working so hard to get out of one into two, and then you go to hell. What's the point? I worked hard. I wasn't an open, wicked person. I feared God. I did good. Now, I'm trying to fit you into one of these categories before you dismiss them all as bad guy categories. I would like you to go, I'm kind of like that a little bit. All right, first of all, get number one. If you can get number one, you're really going to be in good shape here. Number one is a person that's openly lawless, just no law at all, no fear of God, no reverence, no love to the neighbor, no justice at all, just an unjust person. So number one, everybody understands. Surely everybody can understand number one. A person that is mean when you're around them, they're just totally selfish, they're just totally, like a little child, immature. Does everybody know that person? They don't come here. We do not have that kind of person here. That person is not allowed. So do you all see that? Now, before you are excited about that, I want to show you that a hypocrite is actually a number one pretending to be a number two, and they still go to hell. They still go to hell because number two goes to hell, just like number one. So there's no difference. Ah, but there is a difference. Number two has a reward here, but none in the future. In other words, if you're nice, it pays. There's actually a benefit from it. Whereas number one, there's no benefit at all. But number two, well, there's a benefit. If a person was a good citizen, a good neighbor, and godly, worshiping God, and I mean, they're sincerely doing it. Some monk in Tibet some, Catholic priest somewhere serving in the jungles or whatever. Yeah, these things are all very good. But in the end, you go to hell. So, why do I say that? I say that in kind of religious terms, go to hell. It's not really the way the Bible speaks. But you will perish. You will fall short of number three, which is the only holy, the only spiritual, the only eternal group. So, otherwise, you're common, you're secular, and you're temporal. One and a half, and two are all in that category. So, there's really only two categories up there. One and a half, and two, and three. Three is the only other category up there. Three is the only one that God produces. One and a half, and two is man producing. They're all produced by man. They're all wrought by man. One is just openly wicked. The other is a hypocrite pretending to be not openly wicked, secretly. For example, just so that you don't get too far away from number one, is there anybody here who eats too much? Or is there anyone here who lives in fear? Or is there anyone here who's not happy all the time, rejoicing all the time? Then you're not a three. You either are or you aren't. So you can't kind of go halfway and kind of put your hand to the plow and then turn back. You're either in Egypt or you're not in Egypt. And if you're in the wilderness, it's kind of hard to tell if Egypt is still in you. Am I in Egypt when I'm outside of Egypt? But maybe Egypt is still inside of me. So am I out or am I in? And that whole generation died in the wilderness, even though they were out of Egypt. So that's category one. Yet they were hypocrites because they really weren't going to the promised land and they never made it. They all died in the wilderness. Y'all see that? These subtleties, they're supple, subtle. They're not like, hey, just make it real clear. I can't. That's why the Lord teaches it this way, because it's complex, it's full of nuances and grays. But in the end, I can make it real clear. There's only three. The others perish. The others completely fall away. But if I said that, you wouldn't be able to account for the fact that, yeah, but what if that guy's living openly wicked? That guy goes to church every Sunday. So, are they the same or are they different? Well, from one point of view, they're different. Man's point of view. From another point of view, they're the same. So which are you? Now just kind of raise your hand when you feel I've hit you. Are you a openly wicked person? Okay, raise your hand if you're one of those. Okay, are you openly wicked one day a week? Okay, nobody raising their hand. Okay, got one. Are you openly wicked 1 hour out of the week? I got three. Okay. A 2 minute wicked? So anybody's a 2 minute wicked? I knew I'd get that. I knew it. So there's a little bit of one in all of us. You see? So then if I go on to hypocrisy, and to be a hypocrite, hupokrisis. Krisis is like crisis. So a hupo, someone who's superlative, who's even greater than crisis, above crisis, beyond crisis. If you're a hypocrite, you're an actor, an actress. You're a dissimulator, someone who's not, he's pretending like, he's looking like, acting like, but he's not that part at all. Some of the actors and actresses on the screen live a totally different life at home. So you don't know who they are, and some of them don't know who they are. They get all mixed up. They get all mixed up. So, are you an actress? Do you sometimes, go through your script? And it's not really you at all, it's a script. You've learned, say this little script. And so you're an actor or a dissimulator, a fake, a pretender, and so on and so on. Now, I want you to see what the Bible has to say about hypocrites. And I want you to see that there's absolutely no difference between one and a half and one. They're exactly the same, but they don't look exactly the same. So God is obviously judging differently. Because the world would say, well, one and a half isn't good, but it's better than a one. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says, throw them out with the hypocrites and iniquitous. In other words, you're in the same boat. You're in the same category. What? I worked hard not to be just an open sinner. I hid my sins. I eat ice cream at night only when no one's looking. I only watch too much television when, I'm alone. I only surf the internet when it's dark, and so on. Well, whatever you do, you're a hypocrite. Because even though outwardly you don't live in a lawless manner, you're legalistically not really from the heart serving God. So let's look at the God-fearer, because that looks like a better category. Number two, certainly a two is not a one. A Buddhist monk begging for his food in an orange thing is better than a guy that's just out, prostituting people and stealing and cheating and lying and killing. But not so. From one point of view, it's different. But from another point of view, God's, they're all thrown into the same fire. So you might ask yourself, well, what's the point? Why then should I be good? Shouldn't I be good for a reason? Well, it all depends on what good is. If you ask God what good is, what you just did in number two, certainly number one and a half, and certainly number one, is not good. So it all depends on who's eating of the tree and who's deciding. When God said, don't eat of that tree, even though it's called the tree of good, the knowledge of good, apparently God said, don't eat of that tree. Well, shouldn't we eat the good? Twos? I know one is evil. One and a half is hypocrisy. But isn't two good? Yes? No. Yes? Because in this world, actually, if you do good in this world, you don't steal anybody's hubcaps off their car. You go to funerals and tell them, God bless you and, condolences and so on and so forth. Well, that's nice. That's good. And people will thank you for that. You bring some food to them and so on. That's good. So that would be a God-fearer would do that. Not a hypocrite, but a hypocrite could do it too. But a wicked person wouldn't do it. So it looks like there are different categories when in fact they're all the same. I mean, you do get a reward in this world because people reward you, but God will not. He will put you in the same exact category. So do you think God is unjust? You see, it all depends on who's God. If you're God, I guess you get to judge whether God is just or not by saying, oh, by the way, what I was looking for was perfection. Let's not talk about perfection. Let's just talk about gradations of imperfection. If you want to, you can. But God said, here's the law. Here's his law. Here's his law, because this is lawless now. Here's his law. Be perfect as I am perfect. Be holy exactly in the same way that I'm holy. Oh, my gosh. That's impossible. It's too high. Yeah, but he's God. He gets to make us, so he gets to decide what we should be when he made us. And since he's perfect, he gave us a perfect law and said, be perfect. Amen? But we resent that. We don't like that. We don't like that. We fight with him. We argue with him. We accuse him. God, you're not fair. Well, what's the alternative? The devil? What do you mean he's not fair? Well, I don't say we're ones. But now, all right, I don't want to be a hypocrite twos or one and a halves. What if I'm a two, a God-fearer? And in the New Testament, there are all kinds of categories. So I could actually make this more complex than I have because there are Greek words for all of these. But I'm using a very simple diagram, simple picture, Roman numeral one, Roman numeral two, and in the middle, hypocrites, and Roman numeral three. You see, God isn't me, and I don't get to tell God how to do it. So, is he arbitrary? Absolutely not. He set up a stone in the beginning, and everything is measured by the stone. And the stone is Jesus. So everything is measured by the holiness of Jesus, the mercy of Jesus, and the power of Jesus, and the glory of Jesus, and so on. And everything that measures up to that is decay. Decay. Okay? So it's all decay. That means right, just, true, aletheia. It's lined up correctly with the stone. It conforms exactly with the stone that he set up. And everything else, no matter all the gradations you make, everything else is adikia, adikos. It's not acceptable to God. So the only thing that's acceptable is apparently what's acceptable. And the only thing that's acceptable is, you know, like if you pay half of your IRS, that's good. But, you know, they're still going to put penalties on you because it's not what they want. You just can't make it up. You just can't say, well, I don't like the law. I think we ought to do this, and I think we ought to do, yeah, it doesn't matter, but God's already set it up. So you don't get to be bigger than God, greater than God, smarter than God, more godly than God. Well, I think a hypocrite isn't good, but I think it's better than being, I think a hypocrite is still better than being an open, lawless person. That person's obviously no good. Well, that's where everybody's so brilliant. Because since everyone isn't openly wicked, I mean, after all, most of us are only a little bit. Most of us did admit we have a little bit, just a teeny weeny bit. But did you realize if you break one part of the law, in God's eyes, you've broken the whole law? For example, let's say you bought a new china plate and you just chipped off a little bit off the edge and you put it before your guest and they say, do you have another plate? And they go, well, there's only a little chip on it. I could give other examples more graphic, but the point is, if you bought a new dress and you just put a little ink spot on it, you know, if you were a bride and she just had one tooth missing, on and on and on, whatever it is, you only think that way when you don't think. Because if you actually think about it the way God thinks about it, flaw is a flaw. It's not perfect. So please don't be God. Don't be smart. Don't be so, you know, critical. You can't be. You're a hypocrite. Because even you know that perfect is perfect and imperfect is imperfect. You buy a new car and someone scratches their keys along it. Just kids will just do that. I don't know why. They never pick junk cars. If they see a new car, for some reason, you can park even four spots away from everybody. Out in the edge of the parking lot, and someone will park their car next to yours and open the door and slam right into it. Just the first day. It's just, there's just an attraction to new cars. Oh, it's a new car. I don't know how it works. But every time I get, you know, something nice and new, I try to stay away from everybody as much as possible. But it isn't long before it's ruined. Has anybody else discovered that? It's frustrating. I'm trying to keep all my stuff perfect. So everything sooner or later is entropic. Everything sooner or later decays, flawed, exposed, isn't correct, it isn't right, it isn't perfect. Only Jesus, and he was the one we rejected, but only the one we rejected is actually the one God accepted. And everybody that we accepted is actually the ones God rejects. It's funny. It's just funny. Yes? Yeah. A God-fearer is someone that goes to church. Or synagogue, or mosque, or Buddhist temple, or whatever. His own fears God. They know there's right and wrong, and they're bound and determined with everything in their being, in their will. Of course, they're hypocrites because their heart is far from God. So even though they're God-fearers, they go to hell. Because they're actually liars. Let God be true and every man a liar. Well, every man is kind of a big category. That's kind of like everybody. So if only God is true and every man is a liar, then even the Buddhist monk who's so dedicated and you see him in there, you know, and we admire them in all these movies that we make now. A little Buddhist monk is there over his candle or whatever he's doing, you know. He goes to hell. It's witchcraft. It's the highest affront to the Lord God. But we call it good. Well, the man was so sincere, though. I was around him, and he was even better than the Christians I know. It means nothing. It means nothing. God doesn't judge the way you judge. He doesn't value things the way you value. He doesn't look at a thing the way you look at it. Doesn't he have a right to be God and make his own judgments? What he calls perfect, we wouldn't. What we call perfect, he doesn't. Does he not have a right to judge his own pot? If he creates it, he gets to decide. I mean, if you make something, it's yours. You can make something, and then you decide how it shall be and how you're going to look at it and judge it, and you get to write the specs on it. What's that? And then you get to make it up. You give a name to it, and you give a function to it, and a purpose, and a price, a value. So God has already decided. I mean, you can't argue with him. You can argue with him, but it won't do any good. It's pointless. It's moot. It's over with. It doesn't matter. He's already decided. Jesus Christ is what I was looking for. And that's the only one. And when Jesus died on the cross, that's God said, perfect. That was perfect. Remember Jesus was on that cross and he said, it's finished. Tetelestai. Perfect. This is exactly the end for which the beginning began. I just did it. It's amazing. And you looked at it, it looked pathetic. That's it? Beautiful. And God was pleased, especially when he saw the blood dripping off of him and saw that the guy was dead, dead as a doornail. That's what I like. God said, I love that. That's beautiful. We preach Christ, him crucified. It's a scandal to this world. It's an affront. It's a stumbling block to the Jew. But you see, to God, it's powerful. Herein lies your salvation. That's pathetic. I'd at least make it gold. I should paint it gold, kind of improve it a little bit. That's a tree from my backyard, by the way. I cut that down myself. That's my cross. So I put all my sins up there. I nailed them to that tree. I copied God's idea out of his book. I read his book and copied his idea. He said, I nailed all your sins to the tree. So you can go up and put your own on there. If you can find any that I didn't have. I don't know, I've got a pretty good start there. I won't say it's exhaustive, but it's representative. So, make your own. Get your own. Get out, get your nail, get your hammer, write your list. Nail it on the cross. It's gone. That doesn't make any sense to me. What a crazy religion. The other religions make more sense. Wear a golden robe, shave your head, ring a bell, close your eyes, lift your hands. That kind of stuff looks realistic to me. Ours looks kind of funny. It doesn't have the ring of religion. Should have a little temple with some things, pillars maybe sticking up, maybe a big goddess inside, an altar perhaps. We could put a sacrifice on and show how sincere we are and bring little offerings to it. That would look like a real religion. But God apparently is not interested in that kind of houses made with human hand. He's not interested in gold and silver, which we took out of the ground and refined and so on. We've just brought it to its utter beauty. Apparently he's not into that. Apparently he doesn't accept that anymore. He said, these are temples made with human hands. Well, of course. What temple have you ever made? What temple has God ever made? What temple? When Jesus was on the earth, he was the only temple. There was no other temple. The temple of the Jews was a desolate house. Your house is desolate, he said. That's wrong, Jesus. Jesus, that was God's house. He didn't even go in it. That was his father's house, and he didn't even go in it. One time he went in, he knocked all the thieves and robbers and stuff, get them out. Get my dad's house cleaned out here. But then he said, your house is desolate. Cleaned it out, and then he called it desolate. So God has created you in his own image and likeness. That's a number three. That's number three. Because all of us have been ones. The only way you can get to three is becoming, go from a two to a one and a half back to a one, then you can become a three. So if you're a two, you can't go to be a three, but you could go back to a one so you could go to a three. If you're a hypocrite, you can't go on to two and then three. If you're a hypocrite, you have to go back to one. Because the only way you get in the kingdom of God is by being utterly wicked. Romans 4, 5. God justifies the ungodly. You have to be ungodly. You have to be in the adikos class. You have to be in the anomos class, the lawless. That's rather humbling, is it not? Some of us have worked pretty hard to become decent, law-abiding. And you just end up being a hypocrite and a God-fearer who's nothing more than a hypocrite, which is nothing more than a wicked person. No. God, you know, we've created all these words. How many know there's no difference between the openly wicked person, which I have been. Has anybody else been one of those? I've been one of those. And then the hypocrite, which I don't really want to be. I've never been interested in that category. For me, it's rotten all the way or Jesus. It's kind of like, that's about it. So I flip-flop back from one to three. Kind of like a yo-yo. Woo! You know, I just don't stay very long in the hypocrite category because there's no point. I already know that's a loser category. If you're going to be evil, you might as well be a one all the way. So you see, you're thinking that God won't notice, but a hypocrite is really. Now, I'm going to show you that Jesus agrees with me. I'll give you some scriptures. Did I already read this one? No? Okay. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So that is an indictment on everybody. You might think I'm an old-fashioned pastor rather than a new one, but actually I am the future. I'm not the old-fashioned pastor going back to hellfire and brimstone. I'm actually new-fashioned. But actually, I'm older than old-fashioned, going back to the beginning of the gospel. Because the original gospel was, be perfect. Be perfect. And there it is, right there. That's what I'm supposed to be, and I never was. Never will be. Unless he justifies the ungodly. Unless he did that for number one. Then I become a three by going back to one. But he can't justify the hypocrite. Because the hypocrite is a hypocrite. They're not really what they appear to be. They're an actor. They're dissimulating. Do y'all see that? An actor is just an actor. Sometimes little kids will do that. Have you ever had a little kid? They'll do that. They'll pretend. They'll fake. And they can go into the most, I mean, they are great actresses and actors. Kids are like that. They're great dissimulators. Mom, I'm feeling really sick. You know, they can simulate sick. You know, I didn't do it. They simulated innocence. Not really. Where were you tonight? It's a Bible study over at one of my friends' house. They're simulators. They're simulators. They're actresses, actors. But in truth, they're number ones. I mean, what else would a child do but a number one? Oh, well, they might be God-fearers, so that means they legalistically don't do it, but in their heart they still do it. They're doing it in their heart, Their lips say one thing. Their heart is far from them. See, the problem with 1 and 2 and 1.5, the problem with all that is it's all one. And it won't admit it. Just relax. Just admit that you're just the one, and there's good news for you. You can become a believer through Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the only one that's righteous, the righteous one, and there's only one, and it's him, and he did it for you. So you can become a three if you'll become a one. So repent is not go from 1 to 2. It's certainly not going from 1.5 to 2 or from 1 to 1.5, kind of incrementally creeping up on it. No. The only way to move is going from 2 back to 1 or 1.5 back to 1. So if you're a hypocrite, you have to repent twice. First, you have to admit you're a hypocrite, and then you can believe on Jesus as a evil person. Isn't that humbling? That's humbling to have 2 moves like that rather than just 1. If you're just a 1, you're actually ahead of 1.5. Imagine being a 1 your whole life. Well, you're in better shape. I would that you were cold or hot. I hate it that you're 1.5, 2, pretending. I hate it that you pretend. I want you to be non-pretending, non-actoring, non-faking, pretending, you know, phony. Be yourself. When you boil yourself down, you are a 1 all the way. That's all. And that's why I'm very comfortable in this world, because I recognize there's nothing in this world but 1s and 3s. I don't accept any 2s, 1.5s. And I could make many more categories here. I could make 10 categories. You can make all kinds of subtle categories. But in the end, they're all the same. So there's only 1 and 3. So all 1s go to hell. All 3 goes to heaven. So judgment must fall upon all 1s. But 1.5s are in there, and 2s are in there, and anything else other than 3s. Only 3s go to heaven. And then 3s are divided up into 3 parts. You're a believer, but you might be an immature believer with a little bit of leftover 1 in you. You know? Now, don't raise your hand. But how many still watch too much television? And it's not edifying. You know, it's not, you know, something that'll build you up in the spirit. It's just, you know, distractions, you know, things that are shallow. And how many don't raise your hand, but how many have done that? You know that one day last week you did that. You stayed up late and you watched too much of it, and you just took it all in. You know, it was amazing, and you just took it right in. You could have read your Bible, but you didn't want to go that way. So you just chose your own way. That's the same as the one. That is a one. But the program might have been, you know, Larry King. You know, but it doesn't matter. It's the same as though it was, you know, X. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. Did you ask Jesus if you could watch that? Yes, I was praying for the people on the television set. Oh, okay, well, that's all right. That's all right. That's a good work. But you might just be a 3, but 3A. Or you might be a young man or a young woman. In other words, you're kind of not just a believer with imputed righteousness, but you're actually getting a little of the sin out of your life. Or you actually might be mature. Or you actually might be 3A, B, and C all at once. In one area of my life, I'm immature. In another area of my life, I'm growing. In another area of my life, I'm mature. Has anybody noticed that little thing in your life? There are some areas of your life where you're extremely mature. You're actually almost sinless. I don't want to say sinless. Just almost. I mean, you're quite mature. How many know there's a little area of your life, it's hard to find, but if you scrape around, you can find, where you're actually quite mature. You're not tempted any longer. That one doesn't have the hold on you. I have areas of my life where I used to just be, and now I'm, you know, I'm just as pious as you can be. I'm just a wonderful fellow. It's a great model. But there's other areas where I'm still kind of learning And there's other areas where I'm not doing anything. I haven't changed one whit. Does anybody have all those three inside of you? It does explain your psyche. It kind of explains that even though you're a Christian, you still look like a pagan, a hypocrite, and a God-fearer. It's a legalist. So, in Jesus' day, there were people in the synagogue who were God-fearers. They feared God. They believed in God. They hadn't quite become Jewish yet, but they were proselytes. They're looking it over, checking it out. They hadn't become a Buddhist monk yet, but they were, you know, novitiate. And so on. Well, look at that. That doesn't count for a hill of beans with God. He hates all that stuff. He hates any religion because he's already got his right here, Jesus. And he's already had that one. It's over with. There's no more religion that can ever be invented or created or done. So he's already accepted the offering. That's it. He won't accept anything else. So you gotta have faith in the blood of Jesus 2,000 years ago. That's it. There's no new blood coming up. No greater religion without blood or one that's cleaner or nicer. No, nope, that's the one he wants. So everything before that was worthless. Everything after that is worthless. The only thing that's worth anything is that one. Isn't that amazing? What a religion. You can't improve upon it. You can't go back and you can't go forward. It's right there. Perfect. Do you all understand? It's the center of the universe. It's the center of the world. Right there is the center of everything. It all was right there. Just a little past the midway point of history. The world is almost over. You know, regardless of what people tell you about millions and trillions and all that kind of stuff, it's all nonsense and lies. It's always been and it always will be just a few thousand years old. And then it's over. And we're almost there. We probably have less than 1,000 to go. But you never get your time quite right. So we're right there monkeying around on the millennial calendar. We're right there on the edge of things. So I according to my calculations, we're already in it, so God's behind time. But, you know, leave it to God. He always has some surprises. Jim, did you add the one? Oh, I forgot that one. You remember the day the sun stood still? And he's always got some little knick-knack that you didn't notice. Ah, that's my point right there. That's where I went wrong. Right. And so I've learned, don't figure God out. But one thing you can do, because it's in the Bible. You can't know the day or the hour, but you can know the season. So it's not only not wrong, you must do it. So God will have to commend me on seasonal. My seasonal is good. I got my seasonal signals out there. Man, we're in the season. So that's good. And we're definitely in the latter rain movement right now. Definitely. And with Art's passing, a few days ago, I feel Israel is really about to be restored after judgment. After judgment. After judgment. Of course. Because God always does his finest work after judgment. He always brings forth his beauteous thing and then he destroys it and kills it. You know, as soon as you get born again, then he puts you through the fire. I wish he wouldn't do it that way. I wish he'd, kind of once he gets me home, take nice care of me, fix me up. But he always comes home and then begins to smash on me and then, just beat me with a hammer. God, you're knocking me down. God, I can see you're knocking me down. And he's got me and then he throws me in the fire and burns me up and smashes me until there's nothing left of me. So, yeah, I'm working on you here. I'll have you perfected in no time. You're not perfecting me. You're ruining everything. That's the way God does it. Have you ever noticed that about God? He takes the things that he made that went a little bit astray. I mean, I only had a few flaws. And he just rebashes the thing, smashes it, creates, crushes it. And, just starts like he's starting all over. Golly, I had some good points. Where were you thinking, Jim? Well, I don't know, but I was thinking I had some. I never had anything but ones in me. He has to completely smash me to smithereens, destroy me because I'm too strong, too powerful, too godlike. He has to knock all that out of me. It takes a lot because I don't give up easy. Is anybody else stubborn like I am? I'm hanging on for dear life. Hanging on for dear life. So he has to kill me and destroy me and then resurrect me. So I'm not always as, you know, cooperative there. God, you're just about to kill me. He goes, that's what we're working on. Well, could we work on it nicer? He won't do it nicely. When you're breaking something and destroying it, you're not going to be nice. Some things just should be torn down completely. Like you and me. I mean, there's just nothing good. There's just nothing good. And the only way to make that diamond or that gold is to put it in the fire until it burns over and over and over and over and over and over again. It takes 7 times. You have to go through the furnace over and over and over. Over and over and over. How's it looking? Nah, you still see the gold. Put it in again. God, I'm almost transparent. You're not even going to see my beauty anymore. Throw him in. He just has no respect. He's no respecter of persons. I'll just tell you that right now. So he keeps saying, I was just about to point out, look at Peggy. She's almost, you know, she got a lot of dross in her. Mine's almost completely gone. Look at her. Work on her for a while. Let me just sit here on the table. Throw him in. No, 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 God, look at Peggy. Okay. Let me help you. Work on someone else. You're always working on me. What's wrong with me? I'm one of your better guys, huh? Huh? So God just has a great sense of humor. Can't hear you, Jim. Get in the fire. And then he puts you in the fire again. I'm always in the fire. Has anybody else seen that? You're always in the fire. So you might as well get used to it. Zippity-doo-da. You know, you might as well get used to going in the fire. Okay, God, I know. Fire. You know, just jump in. There's no point. Because God just wants to burn us till there's nothing left. Then resurrect the whole thing after it's dead. And he knows you're going to scream and cry and, you know, not want to die. People just hate dying. It's just not a fun thing for most people. They always feel that there's a little bit of agag that they can save. You know, there's always a little bit of something good in me that I think it's worth saving. God, have you ever thought about this? And he's just not interested. Jim, I just have to kill you out. So that's number two up there. I'm sorry. Number 3B. 3B is the fire. 3A is imputed righteousness when you believe. 3B is when you're in discipleship or training or coming under authority where you're going through the fire and you're afflicted day in and day out. I tell you that is a glorious time. That's called hagios in the Greek. And 3C, when you're perfected, that's when you're completely dead and you have nothing to say except whatever Jesus says to say. You have nothing to do except whatever Jesus says to do. Because you're dead to this world. You're alive to God in Christ. How many are almost there? You're almost completely burned out and you're almost perfect. You know, yes, yeah. Well, on number two, you want to be, but in number three, you are. So there's a lot of wannabes. There's a lot of people that, well, I want to be a good Christian. Yeah, but you aren't one. Anyone married to you knows you're not one. Anyone living around you realizes you want to be, but that is nothing. Because wannabe is not being. Well, I want to be a good person. I had good intentions. Dave, were you going to ask me something?
I asked you to relate that to Hebrews 12, chastening.
Chastening, yeah.
That relates to the fire and the...
Right. Okay, the chastening of 3B, Roman numeral 3. Roman numeral 1 is wicked, openly, lawless. Number 2, skip the hypocrite part. Number 2 is God-fearing, you know. But both of those are the same. So we cancel all those. Number 3 is when you admit there's nothing good in me. I tell you, that is the hardest thing for a human being to say, is there's no good thing in me. I don't mind saying there's a few no good things. I just hate saying nothing's good. I hate that because that diminishes me so much. I mean, like, what was the whole point of my living? How many have almost gotten to that point where you go, there's no good thing dwells in me? No good thing. None. You've almost gotten there, Dave? Whew. Almost? You're like 100,000 miles from it? What? You know, there's nothing in there. Yeah, because there isn't any good thing in us. But we hate to say that. I like to say, well, I'm working at it. You're working at it? That's like a joke to God. What do you mean you're working at it? It's got your fingerprints all over it. It stinks. Jim, some of your work here? Yes, sir. It's my better work. Well, you better work it some more, because it's no good. You're almost down to one. No, this is good. This is no one. This is way up there, but 2.5 probably. No, Jim, this stinks. What are you going to do with it? Well, it's wood, hay, and stubble. I'm going to put it on the fire. I worked hard on that wood and my stubble. Did you see my little stubble village that I made? And so he doesn't like my stubble and wood and hay stuff. I mean, I made some good stuff out of that. Do you ever see little kids, you know, they'll make those little stick things. I love those things. You can make little forts and stuff out of those. And those little kids would come home and they're mostly glue. It's mostly glue. And when they're in first or second grade, they look pathetic, actually. But it's very impressive because at least they got something sticking. And you know, they're impressive, but they're just wood. And they'll burn up in a flood. They'll burn up in a fire. They'll burn up when God puts them through a test. So God is going to test everything to see whether it be of God. If it's not perfect, it isn't acceptable. If it's a 1 or a 1.5 or a 2, burn. So it's all burned, and therefore, when you become a believer, 3A, the first thing you do is, Jesus Christ is perfect. He's for me. He's my righteousness. I'm now righteous. And of course, that's all very passive on my part. It's not active at all. In other words, anyone living me, even though I'm a believer, anyone living with me can see that my faith is not active in love. It's just my faith in Jesus, who's good. He's a lover. I'm not. So a newborn believer is just simply an immature believer, a little child. Little children, that's why Jesus always said that. Little children. And even though I'm growing so much, he still calls me little children. It's because there's areas of my life where I'm still a little kid. I hate admitting that. I ought to be more far advanced by now. But big people are still little kids. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Luke, have you seen that in your dad? In some ways. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, in some ways, even though he's your dad, he's still a little kid. He's got some of the same. I've noticed that with my kids, my bad qualities are just like theirs. I've seen that. And that is horrifying. That's terrifying. Because some of the things that I never bothered to work out because I thought, well, that's not too bad. I'll probably get away with that. It shows up in my kids. Like, well, where'd you learn that? From you, Dad. You didn't get that from me. I've been a true believer. I was a 3C, I'm sure. So God's constantly working on us to perfect us. Oh, another thing about 3C. He not only burns you up, but he burns everybody else up too. So you can have fellowship. It's real hard if you're a C to have fellowship with a B. Because they're always griping and complaining and moaning about everything. I hate this fire. Well, just endure it, brother, with joy. Yahoo. People are not really joyful when they're going through the fire. I've just noticed that. When they're going through hell, when they're going through difficulties and problems, the Bible says clearly, rejoice always. And people don't do it. They just won't do it. You tell them, and they won't do it. Okay, I'm Pastor Jim, your pastor now, and you're griping and complaining, giving me all your troubles. I just want to say one thing, rejoice always. I put a smile on my face, I'm encouraging them. But they hate me. They hate me. They do. What do you know, Pastor Jim? You just always, Jesus. You ought to go through some real troubles. That's the way people do it. They criticize me, their pastor, a gift of God, a present from the heaven. Amen. I try to impress that upon Peggy at least. Peggy, I'm a gift of God. And I don't know, I guess it's the way I look or something. Because deep down inside, I know I'm very good. But something on the outside must give me away. Yeah. Yes, that's 3A. Right.
As we strive to let this flesh die.
Yes.
Actually, please, let flesh.
Right. Right. I'll show you something here. Just. Right. Yes. Right. 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 Yeah. Feeling doesn't make any difference.
I'm just trying to kind of get.
Right. I know, but to ask about feelings, feelings are never going to cooperate. There's no possibility. The Bible says clearly that when a child is chastened by his loving father, Hebrews 12, when he's chastened by his loving father, he will not consider it pleasant. So he'll say that when you're going through the fire, it's not pleasant. For whom? For whom? For the me that's still in the flesh. But for the me that's in the spirit, it's wonderful. Fires are great for people that want to grow spiritually, but they're awful for people that want to keep a little flesh. You see, a fire will burn up flesh, but it doesn't burn up spirit. No fire in your life will ever burn your spirit. So your spirit man is released while your flesh man is dying. So the same fire that burns the flesh is the same fire that releases the spirit. It's the same fire. God gets a 2-for-1 on that. While he's cutting off the flesh, he's releasing the spirit. While he's burning off the old man, he's releasing the new man. It's amazing how he gets 2-for-1 on that. So the more you die, you're only dying to the old man. You're not dying to the new man. You're alive to God, but you're dead to this world. Dying to the sin of this world. Because at one time in my life, I loved sin. Remember in the old days when we all were like that? Remember that? The days when we used to love sin? But you remember how now we no longer love sin, we love Jesus? Do y'all remember that? Is it a memory, you know, or is it a present reality that you still love sin? See, now there would be a problem. Because now I don't know if you're a 1, a 1.5, or a 2, or a 3A, or a 3B. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely, because it's after his faith. No. No, no. When you're in 3C, it's joy all the way. You know you're dead when you're rejoicing all the time. If you're rejoicing over everything in your life, you're a 3C. It's more subtle than what you're saying, okay? It's more subtle. The actual truth is that sometimes you're suffering for your own sins, so a 3B could be for my sin, but I could also be righteous and not suffering for my sin, but I also could be both of those at once. So it's even more subtle than it appears. So a 3B is someone who's going through a difficulty, but it may be the devil. In which case you could just say, Satan, out of here in the name of Jesus. Boom, you just overcame him. Or it could be getting sin out of your life. And so it's actually a good thing that I go through this fire and let it burn out because it's burning out my dross. Or it may be that I'm righteous and other people are persecuting me as wicked people, and that's good for me too. So everything is good for me, but it might not be removing flesh. Maybe the flesh is already gone and I'm just being persecuted because I'm righteous and pure and holy, and wicked people hate that. So all kinds of ways, 3B. You can't easily describe it. Only the Holy Spirit can tell you what's going on. So you always have to ask him, Holy Spirit, what's this fire for? You know, what is it? Is this because of my sin? Is this because I'm righteous and perfect? Is this because, you know, you're teaching me something, whatever. You can't know just by the fire. The fire might be bad, in which case, get out of it. You know, if you can get out of a fire, get out. But sometimes you will deliberately stay in because you know the Holy Spirit has said, hang in there, this is good for you. It'll purify you. And sometimes you then stay right in the middle of the problem. Have you ever done that? Where you're actually staying in a problem that you know, hey, I don't need to, I could get out, but I'm not going to do it. Jesus said, let this cup pass from me. No, I'm going to drink this cup to the dregs. Why? You're going to suffer. You're going to die. You're going to get hurt. You can get out. Just get out. Put the cup down. Put the cup down. Whoa, I don't want that cup. You know, you put it down. But maybe Jesus heard the Father say, no, not what you want, Jesus. Well, I want to put the cup down. Don't put it down. Take it up. Drink this cup. This is what you were praying for. Remember what you were praying for? Oh, yeah. Take that cup up. Not my will, but thine be done. And he drank the cup to the death. He did that for you because he loved you more than he loved his own life. Or, put it even better, he loved himself in such a way that by loving you, he was actually loving himself. Or, by loving himself, he also was loving you because you were part of himself. Because he wanted you to be a 3A, B, and C. Now he doesn't want anyone here to stay in 3A or 3B. He wants everyone to be a 3C. The scriptures don't want anyone to be a 3A, merely faith. Wants everyone to go from dikaiosune to hagios to doxa. So that you are spirit, soul, and body kept pure. So as much as you can, every minute of every day, keep going through all these things till you're perfected. And this is the work of the Holy Spirit. So just, you know, don't worry about it. It's not in your hands. You're not reaching outside and turning the flame up or down. Yeah, it's a little. I need a little hotter in here. You're not doing it because you'd turn the thing off. You know, you just wouldn't do it. You had a question. Huge. You're a C. If you can rejoice in the middle of a fire B, you're a C. That is a C activity. And that will hasten your staying in the fire. You don't want to stay in the fire any longer than you have to. You learn to rejoice in the middle of the fire, you're out. I was going to tell you right now, if you learn that, there's no point in keeping you in the fire. It's kind of like you've already been perfected. If you can learn to rejoice in God, knowing that no fears, no doubt, no question, nothing bad is going to happen. My God loves me. 3A. And you can build your 3B by looking at 3A into a 3C. See, because I'm looking at Jesus. I'm looking at Christ and Him crucified while I'm going through the fire, but I know no harm can come to me because I know God loves me. He not only created me, not only saved me, but he will sanctify me. The good work he began in me, I will surely complete. Well, I don't have to even worry about it then. I can either cooperate with him or resist him. I'm not able to because I'm relying on him. God, do whatever it takes. But well, go easy. He didn't hear the last part. He doesn't hear it. And he's not paying attention to the God, help, I didn't mean that. Take it back. You know, he can't hear me. God, the fire is too hot. That's just my flesh crying out, which is exactly what the whole point was. Of course my flesh is going to cry out because I got a flesh. It won't come out until the fire's turned up. Whoa! You know, you can tell right away, that was flesh. Every time you're crying out, that's flesh. Anytime you're going, hallelujah, that's spirit. And I'll tell you, if you try to fake it and be a hypocrite on that one, it won't work. Because when it's hot, it's hot! You know, it's like, whoa, that's hot. And then you know right away, see, that's who you really are. You hate going through the fire. Yeah, it shows you have some flesh. When you love going through the fire, because you know what? Every fire is good for me because it burns off the dross and it purifies me. I'll come out spiritually. I will be dead to this world. I will be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Yeah, so if you could rejoice every day and all everything that's going on, say, you know, that's the best thing ever happened. I'm telling you, I had a meeting yesterday, Peggy wasn't there, and had all the leaders and Fort Worth, Tarrant County, political leaders. And nobody knew what the meeting was for. They just knew there's some bad things going on or something. It turned out that they didn't criticize me. I thought maybe I was the cause of some of it or whatever. I was the model. And they said, this is the leader said, and you know what Jim Borchardt has done with so-and-so and the way they worked it out, that is the right way to do it. You're like, whoa. And you know, because when people did all the kind of stuff they did, I didn't say anything. I just kept my mouth shut. I just rejoiced. Well, good. They defeated me. They destroyed me. They lied. They cheated. And I loved it. I haven't told Peggy that. I love it. That's good. I'm not mad at them. Aren't you mad? No, not at all. That's God. God's in all this stuff. I'm only there at his behest. If he wants me to get beat up, go for it. So I took my beatings and they watched that. Now remember, this is a worldly group. These are not, you know, all Christian type people. But they're just kind of watching it and they notice, wow, we don't live like that. So one of them accused me falsely of something. And even though I knew it was false, I asked the Holy Spirit, well, how should I answer that? And he said, you know, you apologize. Lord, I think I did wrong. But he's claiming now that I did wrong. So without lying, I was able to say to him, I want you to forgive me. I totally misunderstood. Then I had to call all the people that I had spoken to, and I patched everything up. And this guy now is close. He's close. It's great. You see, it's a model. It's a model. It's a model for political getting along. Because in politics, nobody gets along. Nobody. No, you cannot find a city or a state or anything that gets along. Nobody gets along. And we have a model. Me. Isn't that funny? I'm not a model. I haven't told them I'm not a model. I just did what Jesus said to do. You know, don't pay back. Be vengeful as they're vengeful. Don't do it. Bless. When they curse you, bless them back. And I went straight to the person. I didn't go to other people. I didn't tell everybody, you know, don't answer this dirty rat. I didn't do that. Everybody knew it, but I didn't say anything. Well, don't you just hate them? No, I don't. I pray for them. God bless them. I'm free now. It's good. I don't owe anybody anything. When people skunk you, that's a good thing. When they cheat you, that's a good thing. Because now you don't have to trust in those people. You don't have to believe in those people. You don't owe those people anything. Because they cheated you. They deceived you. They lied. And they brought all this out. It was very interesting. I didn't have to say a word. They brought all this out in the meeting. That's powerful. It's very powerful. Now we have unity in this city. I'm telling you, it will reverberate throughout the state. It touches everything. It touches all the way to the White House. It keeps going. It's powerful stuff. So, you know, it's good to be where God tells you to be. And you don't see it for years. You don't see it for years. You don't see it for years. You don't see any going forward. You just see all the junk and the so on. And you think to yourself, well, what am I doing, Lord? How is this working out? All you see is the negative. Because when you're going through death, you don't see a lot of light. When they tied that coffin lid on, it's pretty hard to see the light. Can't see anything in here. You know, you're in there, you know, and nobody can hear you. I think he's saying something. You know, they can't hear you in there. You're trying to get out till you're dead. That's all God's ever wanted from you. Just be dead. Just be dead. Someone dead would be somebody who rejoiced. If you rejoice always, you're dead. Anybody that can rejoice always is not reacting to anyone. He is acting, not reacting. He's not reacting to anyone or anything. He is acting as a child of the living God. That's all God's wanted. That's exactly what the fire is. Put you in a situation where everyone's opposed to you, where no one likes you, you're losing everything, you got no friends. That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Sacrifice yourself.
Is that until, like,
you
come to faith without doubt?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you couldn't do that if you had doubt. If you had doubt, you'd be nervous and be trying to protect yourself and save yourself. But if you can just drop over the cliff and go, yahoo, knowing that you're going to be underneath the everlasting arms, you have nothing to fear. Well, what can man do to me? Could you all say that? What can man do to me? Let's just say that. What can man do to me? What can man do to me? What can man do to me? Why would I ever feel sorry for myself? Why would I ever be angry? Why would I ever try to get even? Why would I ever try to master anything, understand anything, get on top of anything? Just let him mow me down. Why? I have a God. And my God reigneth. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You know, we've got it all, right? Don't talk yourself into this psychologically. It's just truth. You know, you can't kind of like work your way up incrementally. You just speak the truth from the beginning. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. You know, you just got to say that every day until you believe it. Could take a week. Once you conquer that, you go on to the next one. There's no fear in me. Fear not. Boy, you just have to say that right out loud, right in the middle of the devil's thing. Fear not. Y'all can do that? You can just face any problem, any difficulty, any trouble, just turn your back on it and go, praise the Lord, everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-ay. This is a wonderful time. Aren't you having a wonderful time down here? Could it be any better? I didn't say could it look better. I just said could it be any better. If God be for us, who can be against us? So what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, what are you worried about man for? What can man do to you? Nothing. So people can only help you. God is determined to bless you. He stays awake. He does not sleep. I don't know if you've noticed that. He has not been going to bed lately. He doesn't sleep or slumber. Because he's always thinking of some good thing to do to you. So, well, what can I do for my servant? What can I do for my beloved? Every night he's thinking of that. And every morning when I wake up, there's, you know, the smell of fresh something or other. And, you know, he's just right there. Hi, Jim. What are we going to do today? Oh, no. Well, let's go get him. I don't know where he's going. I don't know what he's going to do. And it's just one hell after another. It's just one problem after another. It's one difficulty after another. Isn't that great? Greg, you just get yourself into more hot water. And that is fun. When you do that, you just jump right out there and just without even thought, a thoughtless move, and God's right there with you. Pretty soon you move a mountain. God's for you. Who can be against you? You could make 1,000 mistakes and you'd still win. You could lose 100,000 times, you'd still win. And wouldn't that be fun to test that out, to see if you could do it? I mean, you almost look for losing to see if you couldn't win because God's on your side. Why aren't you dead? God loves you. The wages of sin is death. You're a sinner. You should be dead. Right? God loves you because of Jesus. So he's not killing people off. He reigns on the just and the unjust. Best is yet to come. That's what he says. The best is yet to come. He saved the best wine until the last. I'm drinking it. It's good. I'm not drinking that old vinegar stuff. I'm drinking the best wine. You know, you ever done that? You know, drink a good wine? I don't even drink wine. I mean, I'm not a teetotaler, but I just don't drink it. I'm not into it. But apparently God's into it. So I got to learn to drink wine, I guess. He's not talking about what you're thinking. The best wine. It's something that has been squashed. You know how you make wine. You take those grapes and stick it in a bucket and, you know, squash them down and break them till their skins break open. That's the way to do it. Squash them all up till they don't have an identity anymore. Squash, squash. And all my blood is flowing into your blood and it's all getting all, I don't know who's who. Is this me or is this you? That's love, isn't it? We're all just kind of, everything's just kind of flowing together. Isn't that neat? I mean, if I love Peggy and she loves me and we break our skins, she's got a tough skin, I'll tell you that right now. Peg's a tough skin person. You can punch into it and it just, you know. Now, I don't. I'm soft. I'm easy. But Peggy, she's got a tough, she's like a raisin or something. You know, it's hard, you know. Ouch, I say. And she doesn't pay any attention to me. So God just squashing us together till he breaks all our skins. Amen? Why are you trying to preserve your life? You try to preserve your life, you lose it. If you let your life go for Jesus, my sake and the gospel's, he puts you in that little vat, that little wine thing, and squash you, step on you, you know, crush you up, put you with all the kind of people. You lose your whole identity. You don't know who you are. Jesus goes, it's okay, Jim. I just got to squash on you. You know, he's just jumping all over me. And when that's all done, it'll be good for somebody else to drink. I don't even get to drink it. It's for somebody else's benefit. He's just crushing me up for somebody else. Right? So, here's the Bible. It says, do not be a nomos, lawless, but do not be hypocrisis, a hypocrite, but do not be just a God-fearer, legalistic, lips saying God, but heart far from me. All of those perish, and they're all in the same category. They all do not make it. You've got to be a Christian, a believer, 3A, B, and C. A is you're a believer. It's imputed to you as righteousness. That's just the beginning. Then B is when you go through the fire, and those that believe are becoming active in love when all of the hate is burned out of you. Did you know that right now you're a lover? Right now you have joy. Right now you have peace. Right now you have kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. You have all of that right now. You don't have to pray for that. You've already got it. What you have to get rid of is all of the non-love and all of the non-kindness and so on. So that's what he has to burn out. But you already have it. You don't have to pray, oh God, give me love. You don't need to have love. You already have love. You just have the other hatred along with it. And that has to be separated out. That's the dross that has to be poured off. That's all the skins that have to be taken out of that wine. You never get the wine skin in the wine. They take all that junky stuff off. It just spills that all off. That's all the debris stuff, the dreg stuff. There's a dregs. So, no, you will be purified after God breaks you. So how many are excited about that? God, break me. I mean it. I'm serious. I mean it. I mean, if there be any wicked way in me, see if you can find it. I've looked. I can't find it. And God is real good about that. God will find wickedness that you don't even see. And you got to give him a chance by saying that. He wants your voluntary, you know, you say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, I can't find any. My wife's mentioned a few things, but she doesn't really know. And they just don't pay attention to her. But if you find anything wicked in me, because she just kind of hacks at me. She never really breaks me. She just kind of hacks away at me. Just chips away, hacks away. But, you know, when you do it, you know, you're just squashed right away. He is fast at it. But Peggy just tip, 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 you know, it just chips away at me. And, you know, and I hate it. I'm just spurting out little bits. See, it just doesn't squash me down like that. Because I like it when they stick that thing in you right away and it's over. You know, because I'm scared already. I don't like them sticking things in me. You know, so just get it over with. And I always go, did you stick me? And I'm like this. He said, I haven't done it yet. Oh, okay. Well, have you done it now? Yes, sir, I already did it. You did? Wow. How'd you do it? I'm always amazed. Before they stick that thing in me. I mean, to me, it's like a thing that's going to suck every piece of blood out of me. That's scary to me. And I can just see that thing. It's just huge to me. It's humongous. I hate that. I hate that. Go gentle with me. I hate being stuck. I hate it. You know, and they're just like that. And sir, if you just hand me that thing over there, and I'm over here, they did it right there. I fell for it again. So, and it's over with. Oh, well, that wasn't bad. But I don't want it again. I hate the sight of blood. I hate seeing blood. I don't even like it. So God has to kill me off. Are you all like that? God, if there be any wicked way in me, whatever it takes, I mean massive destruction here. Do it. God really hears that. Jim, are you serious? Yes, sir. And then I think about it. Wait a minute. Whatever it takes, you know what I mean by that. Kind of go easy on me. Because, you know, I mean, how much can a man bear, right? He said, I'll never tempt you beyond your strength. Oh, whew. Wait a minute. You're the one deciding, though, right? Because I was going to cry out early. Ah! And he said, Jim, I haven't started yet. See, he hasn't stuck the thing in. Ah! He said, Jim, I still haven't done it yet. Are you going to cooperate? Yes, sir. Go ahead. Ah! Ah! Did you do it? You know, that, and I never know. I don't like it. But I'm going along with it anyway. I'll stick it out there. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Do it. It's done. Oh, praise the Lord. Yeah, it wasn't so bad. After you've gone through the fire, it's not bad at all. You know why? All the dross is gone. All the wood is burned. Everything evil is consumed. You come out pure, spotless, rejoicing. And then you feel like this. Huh! That was easy. But just moments before you were, you know, like that. And how was it? How was it? Well, you know, it was a little bit hard, but I was strong. That wasn't true at all. That wasn't true at all. So when he sees that, he has to put you through again. He keep putting you through many times until you tell the truth afterward. Jim, we've got to take you through one more time. So God wants you to die out. And I'll tell you what, that's his thing. That's not my thing. I would never do it this way. I'd do it in some other way. I would have a thing where you just kind of touch the person and be over. You know, it's like that. Or breathe on me gently. You know, but I don't like the way he does it. He's you know, he uses mean instruments and things. Crushing and breaking and smashing and, you know, that kind of thing. Fire. So he's rough on us. Amen? But I can just tell you, you can trust him. I'm so glad that he put me through all the fires and troubles and difficulties. In the world you have trouble, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, it's like goody, goody for you, Jesus. But, you know, I believe you overcame, but I don't want to overcome. No, Jim, I'm only going to do it so that you become an overcomer. No, you do it again. No, I did it. It's your turn now. No. Save me till last. Get Peggy first. I want to watch her. I'll see how she comes through. I love it when other people get it. I love it. And I can hear them screaming, and it doesn't bother me at all. Yes. I just feel good like it hadn't gotten to me yet. Anybody else like that? It doesn't bother me when other people get it. I feel good about that. Because I'm thinking of, you know, wait for me. I used to, when I was a little kid, I was scared. So I'd get up on the high dive because I saw everybody jumping off and looked really neat. So I climbed all the way up and got up on the high dive. Oh, my God. Can't even see the ground down there, you know. And everything is little. And I just couldn't get down. So then you're trying to get down the ladder and everybody's coming up and they won't let you get down. So you just have to cannonball down. And it hits. It hurts, too, when you cannonball down. It's not as easy as all that. I should have jumped. It smacks hard because you're not prepared. You don't know what you're doing. So life can be rough. But when you have a God, everything works out good. How many of you have been through the furnace once, twice, three times, four times, five times, six times? Seven? That's the last one. That didn't happen yet. Seven times, that's the last one. That's the final one. So just go through and rejoice. Go through and rejoice. Go through and rejoice. You're almost perfected. Did you realize that Jesus is going to come back real soon and you're almost perfected? And as soon as that last trump sounds, whoop, you pop out of the oven looking good. Isn't that amazing? As soon as that last trump sounds, when that last trump sounds, everybody's transformed in a twinkling of an eye. And all of a sudden, you can't believe it's you. It's you. This is still you, but it's a perfect you looking just like Jesus. And when you see Jesus, he'll look just like you. You'll be exactly like him. And people will say, is that really you? And they can't see the old you. Yeah, it's still me. It's still me. It's not. It's a totally new you. It's Christ in you. The hope of the Lord. You're conformed now to that decay. I wrote it up there. Decay. It says dyke, but in the Greek it's decay. It means the original law. And it doesn't mean law like law. It means law like justice. True justice. Aletheia. Truth. That truly conformed exactly to the pattern. See, if it's not true, it's a little bit off. it won't work. If you're trying to put a thing in a cylinder, you try to put it in a hole, if it's a little bit off, it's not going to fit. It has to be exactly right. Too small, too big, it ain't going to work. Too big, you can't get it in. Too small, it'll just drop down into it. It'll never hold anything. It's got to be exact. It's got to be perfect. That's the way Jesus designs everything. You are being designed just for heaven. And when you get there, this is good news to me. When you get there, you'll be perfected. So where are you today? Are you in one? Well, you have some of that left in you. Are you in two? Well, you have some of that left in you too. But you should be in three, A, B, or C. That's what God wants. So go ahead, testify. Where are you? Where are you? How many 3A? 3A. 3A. One? Okay. Is anyone else a 3A? That's a Christian. A believer. Okay. 3A. How many? Is there anybody else? 3A? Yeah, 3A.
Progressive.
Of course. Yeah, of course. Everybody is progressive. If you're a 3A, you're probably not just a pure 3A, but you got to learn 3A before you go on 3B. You'll never go to a B. You'll never agree to a B until you see how beautiful Jesus is. Beholding him, we're changed. You aren't going to be changed. You'll never go through B. You'll go back to A every time. Because nobody wants to have faith active in love. The flesh isn't going to agree to that because the flesh is going to have to die to pay for that. You won't have any flesh left. Because when you see how beautiful Jesus is, everything in you that's ugly will have to be removed. So, how many are 3B? You're in a furnace, you're in a fire, and you just feel that your old man is dying off and your new man is coming and just released, and you can hardly wait to get through it because it's rough right now, but you know it's good for you, and it's a blessing, and you're starting to rejoice a little bit, and you're just actually, you actually are beginning to cooperate rather than resist. Do you feel that? You know, can you feel that? And then how many are already in some areas of your life, you're already mature? You feel like, you know, that I'm not there anymore. I'm definitely not a one. I'm definitely not a one and a half. I'm definitely not a two. I used to be. That doesn't rule me anymore. That my anger is still there, but it doesn't rule me anymore. It's beginning to be dominated by the Holy Spirit. I'm beginning to think differently. You know, I can see changes in my life. I'm becoming more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That's your goal. Your goal is to be just like him in every way. Now, if you don't want to go that way, you're not a believer. There has never been a child born that did not want to grow up and be everything that he was created to be. Every little kid, when he wakes up and he sees his mom and dad, he wants to be just like them. Maybe later he changes his mind when he sees how his mom and dad actually are acting. But even then, he never forgets that. There's a high goal somewhere, and it's born in every man, woman, and child. Everybody, it's born in them. To want to be, grow up to be perfect, to be great. They don't want to be babies, and they don't want to be 8, and they don't want to be 15. They want to be mature. Everybody has that. They can hardly wait till they get to where they're supposed to go. Nobody's looking forward to 80. They're looking forward to 18 or 25 or something like that, or 45. They're not exactly sure, but they don't want to be 80. I don't feel like I'm grown up yet. I feel like I'm still growing. Does anyone else feel that way? I feel I should be grown up, but I'm not. I feel like I'm just learning now. I'm just getting it now. It's like I'm a juvenile. I'm just barely getting on to it. And I should have known it years ago. I mean, I feel excited, too, about it. But I'm also kind of like, whoa, why didn't I know this earlier? Does anybody else feel that way? This is good. I should have known this when I was raising my kids. I should have known this. I didn't even know it. They kind of grew up, you know, with a half truth or something. They didn't know the whole thing. I didn't know it. I could be a better parent today, but I'm so old that it's good I did it when I was younger and not a good one. Because I'm just too old now. I didn't have the stuff in me. I always thought I'll never get old and lose my vigor, but I have. I've lost it all. It's always bothered me when old people, you know, creep along or something. You know, get vigor in you. But now that I'm getting older, I can see why they just kind of shuffle along. I can picture myself drooling, looking at the TV. I actually can, I'm almost there. Peggy can see it in me. She can see, you're going to be an awful old man, she says, because I think you can almost see it in me. Yeehaw! God is good. God is good. I believe the best is yet to come. I believe the best is yet to come. But you have to stop controlling your life. Let's stop controlling our lives right now. This is the last day of controlling, right? This is it today. Let's lose all control. Take your hand off the handlebars. Take your hand off the handlebars. Stand up on the seat. You just let God take charge. You just stand up there and yee-haw! Just go for the ride. I'll tell you what, Jesus will bring you through. He's a good God. The best is yet to come. You aren't yet Christ-like, but you will be. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He appeareth, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He is pure. You're being purified by the fire. That's what purifies you. The baptismal waters don't purify you. They purify your spirit. But the Word of God, through the operation of the Holy Spirit, is purifying your soul and then your life. You are actually becoming believers. Anybody that comes to Sunday night, definitely a believer. No respectable hypocrite would come on Sunday night. No. You got to be a masochist or something to come on Sunday night. Because this is for the serious believer. Amen? This is a serious believer. Praise God. I hope you're blessed tonight. There are different words. Make sure you get back to one. Don't try to be a two or one and a half. Get back to one in order to get born again three. A, B, C. That's simple. Simple truth. But it'll guide you. Now you have to think about it, because everything in you is going to resist what I just said. You're going to try to go from one to one and a half, and then you've made no gain. It's totally vain. And then to two. And then you think, I've finally advanced. You have absolutely blinded yourself to the ultimate by becoming a two or a one and a half. You're still a one. You're still a one. You're still a one. Go back to one. Be what you are. Sink back to where you really are. Then Jesus will lift you up. You can't be a two. A two will never be a Christian. A one and a half will never be a Christian. They cannot be Christians. You have to go back first and be a pagan. And then you can become a Christian. Don't think I came for the righteous, the self-righteous, the pretended righteous. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the sinner. He came for the one that's wicked, a one. That's the beauty of it. I believe a lot of you are qualified, whether you know it or not. I believe a lot of you are actually quite wicked, quite wicked. And I feel at home. I feel at home with you. You deserve me, and I deserve you. It's just a beautiful thing. All right. God is good.